Good morning again, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We're certainly very thankful to have you here with us on the program today. We've been trying to consider together during my time and my weeks on the program, the Christian's responsibility to government. What was God's purpose in establishing government and our biblical responsibility to submit to government, to pray for government leaders, to submit to every ordinance of man. And in that line of thought, this morning, we'd like to talk about one particular aspect of submitting to every ordinance of man that is somewhat of a hot topic, which is taxes. So today we would like to consider together, what does the Bible say about taxes, about tributes, as we find in the New Testament, and how are we to view that? How are we to approach that? And how does that fit into, again, the Christian's responsibility to government and to submit to every ordinance of man? So, first of all, we've been considering as a primary passage throughout this series together in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7 is a very beneficial and helpful summary of God's purpose in establishing government. And we have taxes and tributes addressed there in Romans 13 as well. So we won't read the beginning portion of this in total for you, but just be reminded, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for the powers that be are ordained of God, and those that resist the power resist the ordinance of God. That applies to all ordinances, all laws that a government has enacted, and there are some circumstances where we ought to obey God rather than man, and we will consider that in an upcoming message in the weeks to come. But outside of those circumstances where we have a responsibility to obey God rather than men, we are commanded as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to be subject unto the higher powers. So with that in mind, continuing on to verse 6 in Romans 13, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So here we have the principle that's given to us for us to render tribute to whom tribute is due. And then also continuing on there in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. So we should not, and it's a general principle in Scripture, that to be massively in debt is not a good thing. Now, we have to, from time to time, finance our houses through a mortgage. I doubt anyone has enough cash lying around to buy a house. We finance our vehicles. But outside of large purchases like that, we need to be very cautious to not be in debt to any man, owe no man anything, but instead our debt to our fellow man is to love them. Owe no man anything, but our true debt to them is to love them the way that Christ loved the church. So keep that in mind, owe no man anything. Well, if you have taxes that are due, that is a debt that you owe. And it's detrimental to our witness to owe something and to not pay it. We don't need to go out and rack up all of this debt that we know that we can't pay. We need to live on a balanced budget. We need to make prudent financial decisions with what God has blessed us with. But if you owe something to any man, it's our responsibility to pay that. And if you owe to the government taxes, it's your responsibility to pay those taxes, submitting to that particular ordinance of man. So let's turn together to Matthew 22. And I will say, before we begin the biblical consideration of this, I don't think anyone is a huge fan of paying excessive taxes, right? The biblical pattern that we have in Scripture is a government that is primarily focused on law and order to protect us from the wickedness of man, to protect us from the depravity of man who might try to hurt us, and government does not bear the sword in vain. So primarily, law and order is what God established government to be. And as we've noted before, I'm very thankful to have, this is not specifically noted in Scripture, but I'm more than happy to pay some tax dollars to have a fire department, to have some of these services that our communities provide, that if my house is on fire, there's someone that can come and put out that fire because I've paid taxes. However, there's a very legitimate discussion of government being far beyond the scope of what God originally intended. And obviously, that excessive scope, that enormous involvement in so many things that Scripture does not place any responsibility for government to be involved in, that's clearly funded by tax dollars, right? So government is larger than it should be, in my opinion. There are many things that the government's involved with that the government should not be involved in, and that's funded by our tax dollars. However, we have remedies to be able to bring those concerns through the appropriate channels and through the appropriate jurisdiction. So if I have a problem with a specific government program that I believe is a waste of money, and there are plenty of them out there, well, I have avenues to be able to bring that to my attention of my representatives, of whoever, whether it be a governor or whether it be a mayor or my local representative or my state representative or even my senator for the state of Mississippi or a House of Representatives member for the state of Mississippi. And I hope that they can take up the mantle to try to remove this program that hopefully in the big scheme of things would reduce our taxes. However, this is a bigger animal than we have a chance to talk about this morning because we're so beyond insolvent in the American federal government. Talk about a borrower being slave to the lender. Well, America's enslaved to our debt. And there are some very difficult fiscal financial decisions that are going to have to be made at some point, and we're going to have to operate on a balanced budget. Otherwise, we're just going to be insolvent, and we're going to have to default on our debt at some point. But anyway, moving on. It is a very valid discussion that there's a lot that is funded by our tax dollars that we don't support, that we think is a waste of money and a not a prudent use of our money. And then also you look at the cumulative effect of taxes. I mean, you have federal taxes that is based on your income. So the money I make, there is taxes taken off that right off the top. I have payroll taxes that are supposed to fund Social Security, Medicare, that's taken out of my W-2 wages. Then I live in the state of Mississippi and we have a state income tax. There's a few states that don't, but we have a state income tax. Then you have local property taxes. And what am I using to buy the things? My property, I'm using my income. So that income is being taxed at an income level at the federal level, income level at the state level. And that money that I'm using is also being taxed perpetually of things that I buy, like a house or a vehicle or other personal property. And then you have a sales tax. And clearly, what are you buying things with a sales tax? It's with your income. So if you look at the cumulative effect of all of that, there's a good chance that most of us are paying 30 to 40% of our income through some form of tax, whether it be federal income tax or federal payroll tax or state income tax or state sales tax or even local sales tax, and then through local property taxes such as real estate or ad valorem taxes. So you look at all that and we are paying a tremendous amount of taxes, right? And I think that, in my opinion, I believe it's more than it should be. I think there is a lot of government programs that should be cut, that should be diminished in the very least. And I think our taxes should be lower than they are. However, I have legal avenues to bring my concerns to the appropriate party where they can make decisions through the right channels to hopefully reduce those taxes. What I can't say is that I'm a child of God, I shouldn't have to pay taxes. Well, you can make that statement if you want to, but you're going to end up with tax liens, you're going to end up in a tremendous financial problem, and you could easily end up in jail. You know, if you think about all these people that are really bad men, such as Al Capone and some of these other criminals, they couldn't get them on all these crimes, these murders that they told men to commit. What did they get them on? They got them on tax fraud, and they went to jail for tax fraud. So it's a very valid discussion that taxes are higher than they should be, and much of our tax dollars is wasted through various levels of government, federal, state, and local. All have some very beneficial services, but also many services that are either extremely poorly ran or just a waste of money altogether. So, with all that said, even if we believe that the taxes are excessive, even if we believe that we are wasting where a large amount of my tax dollars are going, that does not fully absolve me of my responsibility, my biblical responsibility, to submit to the ordinance of man and pay the taxes that I owe. Okay? So with that in mind, let's go to Matthew 22. And here, the Pharisees and the Herodians are trying to entangle Jesus in his speech. And they, obviously, the Jews there are ruled by the Romans, and they're trying to get him to say something derogatory of the Roman government so they can bring him up on charges. Now, they end up bringing him up on charges, but it was just a sham of a trial, and he was declared innocent and still crucified. But they're looking for opportunities to try to bring him up in charges with the Roman government. And if, you know, Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, he talked about himself being the king of the Jews, and they're hopeful that maybe he's going to say something and tell us and tell his followers that they don't have to pay taxes. And if they don't have to pay taxes, then we can finally bring him up on some kind of legal charges with the Romans. If he makes some statement, if we can catch him in his words to make some statement that either him or his followers don't have to pay taxes. So they come unto him here in Matthew 22 and verse 16. The Pharisees and the Herodians are kind of teaming up in their common enemy of Jesus Christ. Even though they hated one another, they're teaming up because of their hatred of Christ. And they say, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, nor regardest not the person of men." So we know that you don't acknowledge men's authority at all because you're the king. "Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" Now, you know these Jews, they hated paying taxes to Caesar. They hated paying taxes to the Roman government. And they're trying to catch Jesus in his words. And this would have been a very popular message. You know, if Jesus wanted to start a political revolution and get the Jews on his side, if he publicly stated that you don't have to pay taxes to the Romans, not only would that cause a riot, that would get him a tremendous following. But listen, he didn't come to solve governmental problems. He came to call men to repentance, to be the light of the world, to save his people from their sins. And by us living obediently, we are the light of the world through the gospel and through the kingdom, not through lowering the Roman taxes, okay? So, Jesus perceived their wickedness, obviously. He saw through exactly what they were doing, and he said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought him a penny, and he said unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" And they said unto him, "Caesar's." Then said he unto them, and notice how precisely he answers this, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And when they heard these things, they marveled and left him and went their way. And that sounds very similar to what we have reiterated later in the book of Romans too, right? Render to whom tribute is due. If tribute's due, render that to them. If custom is due, render that to them. And obviously, render fear and honor to whom fear and honor is due as well. So, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. If you owe taxes, you need to pay your just and honest debts. And if you don't, you're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to have tax liens. You're going to have tremendous amount of other expenses and having accountants, maybe even attorneys, help you out with all these tax problems if you try to avoid paying your taxes that are due from all of these various levels of government. So we see this reiterated again a little bit earlier. This is in Matthew 17, here in verse 24. There were some people from Capernaum that came and received tribute money, came to Peter. So these are essentially the tax collectors. These are the people that collected the temple tax, the tribute money. And they came to Peter and says, "Does your master pay tribute?" And he said, "Yes." So Peter answered and said, "Does Jesus pay taxes?" He says, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. He rebuked him and said, "What thinkest thou, Peter?" Man, he's kind of chewing him out here. "What thinkest thou, Peter? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, the children are free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened it, thou shalt find a piece of money, and take and give it unto them for me and thee. So there was a temple tax that the Jews were required to pay, and Jesus was behind on his taxes. They bring it to Peter, and Peter says, yes, he's going to pay it. And Jesus again affirms, you pay custom to whom custom is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. And boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could go fishing and find the amount of money that we owe in taxes by going fishing, right? But notice, Jesus, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, right? He owns everything in this world. They go and they find a fish. And this is an amazing under-the-radar miracle, right? I mean, what are the chances that a fish that you catch is going to have money in its mouth and it's going to be the exact amount that you owe? And notice, it's not just the amount that Jesus owed. It's the amount that Peter owed, and possibly even the apostles. He was talking to Peter here. But I think it would have made sense for him to pay the taxes for the rest of the apostles, because they were not working, obviously. They were not working in their former profession, and he wanted to make sure that they didn't run into any problems with the government. So I think he probably paid the taxes for not just Jesus, not just Peter, probably for the rest of the apostles too. But notice the language he says here. Are we ultimately bound by the governments of men in the sense, is that our greatest devotion? Well, no, it's not. Our greatest devotion is to the kingdom of God, right? Our greatest devotion and responsibility is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But notice, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. And you see, you're going to have a lot of problems if you choose to not pay your taxes. And if you choose to be deceitful in your taxes and you don't. Now, there are loopholes that are legal, and go get you a good accountant and don't pay any more than you owe. I will say that. And certainly as an accountant, a CPA myself, I don't really do taxes anymore, but do not pay a penny more than you owe. Go find somebody who knows what they're doing and make sure you don't pay any more than you owe. However, when it's determined of what you owe, you're going to have problems if you don't pay that debt. And it will offend the government if you choose to not pay your taxes. And not only are you going to have tax liens, you could end up in jail if you choose to misrepresent your income in a very malicious way. So going back to a passage that we've considered quite a few times together, we pray for those that are in authority. We pray for the government leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We do these things to not offend the government, right? Now, if I need to care for my family and I want to be a responsible, productive, lively member of the kingdom of God, am I going to be a lively, productive member of the kingdom of God if I'm in jail because I chose to not pay my taxes? Or I can't help anyone that's in need, and I can't provide for my family because I have all these tax liens because I chose to not pay the taxes that I owed, right? So why do we pay taxes? No, we do not ultimately submit to the federal government as our sole authority here in this world. Our last message in the series, Lord willing, will be our citizenship in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. But just because we are citizens of heaven, and just because we are pilgrims and strangers passing through here in this world on our way to heaven, on our way to the celestial city, that doesn't mean we have the right to offend the government by saying, I'm not going to pay my taxes. If you do that, you're going to have a lot of problems if you choose to do that. So it is our responsibility, according to the command of God, according to the command of Jesus Christ, to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And if at the end of the day, on April 15th, it is determined that you owe a certain amount to the federal government, which is being pictured there as Caesar, if you owe this amount to Caesar, it is your duty to pay that amount to Caesar. Now, as I said before, go find you a good accountant. Don't pay anything more than you owe. But it is our responsibility to submit to the ordinances of men, even in the realm of taxes, and to pay what we owe so that we do not offend the government authorities, so we can live a quiet and peaceable life, so we can work and provide for our families and put the kingdom of God first and foremost to where they are not offended at all. I pay my taxes, I paid my debt, I move on, and then I can live my life and serve in the kingdom of God according to my conscience and according to the will of God, to where I don't have any problems with the government because I didn't pay my taxes. So render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but always render unto God the things that are God's. We pray the Lord will richly bless you today, and we hope you will continue to tune in with us as we continue to try to consider the responsibility and structure of government from the Word of God. We hope this has been instructive for you, and if that's the case, we thank the Lord for it. May God bless you on this Lord's Day.